Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
All right, we're back, and let's go right to the phones. Joining us, as he does every week at this time, he's our resident big game expert. He even caught a fish once, I understand. That's Mr. Nate Zielinski. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning, Terry. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I had to throw that even caught a fish once because I was talking to Steve Panaz. We were talking about Steve's in the Hall of Fame, you know, and yep. Steve asked me why I wasn't in the Hall of Fame yet. I said, well, they said that I'd have to catch one more fish. The one I caught wasn't enough to qualify. So
I love it.
All right. So a lot going on, my friend. I mean, it's got to be a tough time of the year for you just to decide what to do. I know that you are so religious about getting ready for hunting.
I mean, that's it, Terry. Again, you know, we talk about it every week. There's so much going on. And honestly, the rain has thrown a curveball in both directions, in both fishing and hunting, that came in. You know, I'm a big fan of drought. I obviously, you know, for our state with fire and everything else, I love to have rain. But as an outdoorsman, lower water situations, I catch a lot more fish in. Drought situations, I eliminate water holes, and I can really build patterns on existing things. So we were coming into a very hot, dry year, and I was in heaven. Now we have a lot of water, and it's changing both things. It brought on an absolute tremendous pike fishing bite, both spinner baits, jerk baits, top water. The pike went from going good to going amazing. So that fishing just really kicked up, which kind of throws a spin on things. The hunting side, you know, I thought we were all ready for pronghorn, which opens up here, you know, August 15th. I had some water holes that dried up, which made the animals focus on other water holes. I was very excited about it. Elk, a lot of wallows dried up. I found the wallows that are going to be key, and now new ones are springing up. So really this moisture has brought on a lot of changes. It's going to make a little more emphasis on some additional scouting on the hunting side, and it's increased a lot of fishing activity to where I was telling myself, hey, spend more time hunting. You know, the pike bite's not quite on fire yet, and now everything's happening. So a lot going on in the state for sure.
Now, I know you want to talk also about the changing of dates in hunting. I'm going to give you a heads up that before we finish up, we had a question online about line for a bait caster, and you and I might not agree, but at the end of the segment, let's talk a little bit about that. But in addition to the water, the timing of the hunting seasons has changed this year, right?
Absolutely, Terry. You know, and it's kind of one of those things that it's something that we've been asking for forever as a hunter in Colorado. You know, every year when you end, say, an archery season, you know, in middle or later September, third week of September, those bulls are so running hard. And we always wish, man, we just had a little bit more time. We wish we'd push back a week. And in the rifle season, when you approach that fourth rifle, whether you have wintering grounds for your bulls or you have deer approaching the rut, same thing. We always wish, you know, hey, I wish we had a little more time, you know, just have a little bit later season to hunt these animals. And this year we have that. You know, archery got pushed back quite a ways. So we're going to have some prime rut activity towards the late of September. There's more times or more situations that we just haven't had in the past. So everything got shifted a little bit. So it's really the best of all worlds this year. I would say that your archery deer and elk got pushed back a little bit. So it's going to give us a little bit more time in the colder weather of the later September, more so on the elk side than the deer side. But we're really anticipating a great archery hunt. The first rifle hunt is earlier, and they shaved off a couple days of that third rifle to where we're giving the animals a little bit more break, and they pushed the fourth rifle a little later. So really, it's lining up to have almost the best of all worlds, I would say, as a big game hunter here in Colorado. So just excited about it. But with that being said, I think it's going to change things up just a hair, more on the opportunity side. But a lot of your hunters who normally go out opening day of the archery elk season, you know, which normally is going to be that into the third week of August. This year, we're not having that. So a lot of times we start off, you know, hunting water holes, hunting in blinds. We're not used to the elk being anywhere near the rut. And then, you know, we usually get a week to 10 days of that style of hunting. And then we slowly start coming into more of those rut activities and the elk being vocal. This year, by missing that early week, we're going to miss a little bit of that water hole opportunity when it's, you know, just blazing hot, 90 degrees of August. You know, we're not starting until, you know, early September with our tags this year. So it's just changing things up. And I think, you know, the average hunter is looking more for that calling situation, that very vocal situation. So I don't think it's going to affect them that much. It's just going to help them. But the guys that do spend a lot of time on water holes and a lot of guys, you know, in that spot and stalk type situation, it's definitely going to change that up a little bit. So it's going to help you out. But it's going to help out the guy who's calling, but the water hole thing is going to slow down just a hair. So really we're just anticipating those changes. The other biggest thing that we talk about is mule deer, especially in the high country, so talking more mountain zones, not out east, but the mountain zone mule deer, they are in a pattern right now. I literally just came out of the woods, just drove to where I have service. I was scouting all morning, and these bucks have been in a pattern for a while now, and that pattern always stays true until the bucks lose their velvet. This is something that I've talked to biologists, I've talked to leading experts, you know, at the Mule Deer Foundation, and we all wish we knew what happened. It's really, there's a lot of speculation, but nobody really knows. But these deer stay in that rut, or stay in their summer patterns very strong until they rub off that velvet. When they rub off that velvet sometime, you know, the end of the first week of September, into the second week of September, we always say it's somewhere between like September 8th and the 15th. Somewhere in there, these bucks are going to shed that velvet. And when they do so, that's when their patterns change. They almost, I don't know if they go nocturnal, they migrate. A little bit of everything happens. And they kind of go into a little bit of a funk until the rut starts, you know, as you start getting into late October, early November. So with that being said, we are pushing for crunch time on the mule deer hunt. So if you're an archery hunter here in Colorado chasing mule deer, normally you have, you know, dang near 2 weeks to chase these mule deer in a very summer pattern. And by moving the seasons later this year, we're shortening that pattern up. So you're really going to be down to, say, a week of hunting these deer in a very summer pattern before they start rubbing off that velvet. So that is one of the other things that is going to change. So again, just some changes across the board. I think it's important to think about, you know, I think most people know when the season dates are, but I really, you know, encourage people to think about their past hunts, think about the timing of those hunts, and think about how things are going to change this season versus the last. Try to adapt for them and be ready for a great hunting season.
Well, and you need to be adapting your scouting habits right now, because you're going to be looking for different terrain, different patterns, different places almost to hunt, maybe in the same area, but you're going to have to adapt your scouting even now, don't you?
Absolutely, 100%. You're definitely planning on where things are going to be, where things are going to change. Try to anticipate all of those situations. So, you know, if you're a rifle hunter, say with a first rifle tag, you know, you're going to really anticipate that being starting, you know, in earlier October than normal, starting, I believe, on the 10th. You're going to anticipate hunting these bulls in a rut-style situation. So where on a later year, when that falls later, you know, you start getting some snow, you can really anticipate those animals coming off the rut and almost hunting in the winter pattern, as opposed to this year, you're going to be hunting those big elk in a rut type situation. So you're scouting for that. You can almost scout as if you're archery hunting and really get a good pattern and build that up. And again, across the board, if you're that archery hunter, you're looking for different things, especially anticipating maybe that the normal drinking holes might not be as effective. You're really looking more for a wallow, which is going to bring on more of a rut style situation. So instead of the average water hole, I'm looking more mud, more of that increased activity that's going to happen with the rut being it later in the season. So I'm definitely trying to scout for what I plan on is going to be happening this fall.
All right, I want to switch things up. You started out the segment. You mentioned the pike fishing is on fire. That's a great segue for us because a lot of times we use bait casting reels to fish for pike and bass and some species, although you can fish for all of them with a spinning rod. We got a question on the text line. What line do you recommend for a bait caster? I'll kind of set the stage with my thoughts, and I'll let you take it. But one of the benefits of a bait caster, well, first of all, make sure you want to use a bait caster. It takes time and practice to be good with it. If you're not going to do time and practice with a bait caster, adapt your techniques to a more heavy-duty spinning reel, and you won't get as frustrated. But bait casters have definite advantages. I have several in my arsenal. Bait casters will accommodate almost any line, whether it's mono, fluoro, or the super lines. Because of the way they wind, you don't have to worry as much about memory stiffness, and they hold a lot more line typically than a spinning reel, so you can get heavier breakpoint lines on a bait caster also. I used to put a series of different lines on my bait casters. I would put some with heavy mono for pulling bass out of heavy wormed areas, but where I had some stretch. I'd put some with fluorocarbon that I could get things down more quickly and have the clearer fluorocarbon. And then with the advent of superline, I'd put some very heavy. A typical bait caster, if I could only have one, I'd probably put 20-pound braid, a good braid that I really would pack tightly on, and then I would change the leaders, and I can fish a number of situations with that. But if you have multiple bait casters, you're going to look at different line tests. Well, how do you approach your bait casting reels?
Absolutely, Jerry. I think you really nailed it on the head there, so I think you covered most of it. The thing I'm going to say is, if somebody's asking this question, I don't know if they're new to the bait casting world or not, I'm going to start off with that. The biggest thing, I think, if you're new to the casting world and you're just getting started, or maybe you're just not that great with it yet, I preach mono, a heavy mono, like a 14-pound mono is how I start my ability to use a bait cast. When you're starting to use, you know, some of the super lines, whether that's braid or fusion, they're going to be faster on that reel. They're going to, you know, just, again, thinner line. And they're going to cause the spool to go a little faster, which is going to help you increase that overall backlash rate, which we hate. And when you do get a backlash, it's going to be a little harder to get that backlash out. So it gets more frustrating. That's where you see people wanting to give up or not use the casting reel as much because of the frustration. So for me, when I'm starting, I'm running heavy mono, 14, 17-pound mono. Again, it's a little more forgiving on the cast. It's a lot easier to get tangles out. If you do get a bad situation, it's, you know, affordable to cut and re-spool. So that's going to help you out and really take you a long ways. And once you get, you know, confident with that casting reel, I really judge my line to my situation. You know, so for me, I use a spinning reel for a lot of stuff. It's just kind of what I do. But for me, you know, like this week we've been throwing top water for pike. I want to have a slower hook set on top water. I get so excited when those big pike blow up a top water bait that I tend to set the hook too quick. Even though I know I have to wait, I know I need to feel them, I still just get excited. So I run mono on my casting rods for top water simply for the fact that I get a little stretch, it's a little more forgiving, and my hook rate is going to be better with that mono because it slows me down. Then all of a sudden I'm throwing, you know, big spinner baits in the weeds for those big pike. I run a fusion, so I run fireline fusion because that line is flatter. It's not round like a braid. If I have a big pike, a 40-incher that grabs the bait and then dives through a bunch of weeds, if I put pressure on that fusion, that flat line actually cuts through the weeds, allowing me to get direct contact back to that fish and helps me land that fish. So, again, mono to start just to get good with the casting reel. Then after there, I really judge my line to my technique and what I'm doing to dial in the right situation.
And if you do go to the super lines, you'll see the bass fishermen on TV. They're down south, and they'll talk 50, 60-pound braid, or even muskie and pike fishermen. And there's a place for that. I have bait casters, large ones, rigged up for those big fish. But most of the time, before we had super line, when we fished those situations, we used 17 and 20-pound monofilament. Now it's stretched, but you can go 20, 30-pound braid and still get a line that's small enough in diameter to get plenty on a spool and still get adequate casting distance, even throwing a crankbait or a spinnerbait. And so you can get a lot of versatility. And when you get where you can control that with your thumb, you know, the settings on modern baitcasters make it much easier. Don't try to overcast. But once you get where you can control that, just changing leaders. Like, you don't want a fluorocarbon leader on a surface lure because it'll make it sink. So just understand the situations. I think you did a great job of telling us. Nate, any last-minute comments before we let you go?
The last thing I'd talk about, just on the line real quick, same thing. I mean, if you grab a pound, say 20-pound braid or even 20-pound fusion, and you try to break it, you can't. I mean, it's almost a hassle when you get snagged because the line is so strong. The line has blown up in technology and advancements. The line is not what it used to be even a couple years ago. So, again, we're even in crazy situations where I would step up to like a 30-pound braid or a 40-pound braid, even talk 50, 60. I don't see those situations anymore. I don't have the tackle, the rod, or the baits that can handle that. So, again, even though in our heads we want some of this heavier stuff, I think you're almost doing yourself a disadvantage by going too heavy because you're losing castability. You're going to lose the sink rate of some of those baits. Again, the line market is blown up. It's great equipment. Generally speaking, you can go lighter on your line now and get the benefits of all worlds. So just keep that in mind. Even if you're a musky fisherman, huge pike, huge lakers, I mean, anything over 20 is really honestly almost extreme. I'm almost doing everything with 14 to 20-pound super lines, and I have no issues. I promise you, the line is the last thing that breaks in the equation of the rig.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I fish bass in the heaviest cover in the United States and very seldom have over 20-pound tests. My friend, we're out of time. How do people get a hold of you if they want more information?
Absolutely. You can always go to our Facebook page, Tightline Outdoors, our website. We're going to have a lot of information coming soon on ice addiction. We're also doing some boat demos at Catch Rate this coming Wednesday. So we got some cooler weather coming, so I'm really excited about that. So go to our Facebook page. You can learn about Catch Rate. You can learn about the boat demos we're doing and all the other information we're having. So, again, Tightline Outdoors on Facebook will get you everything you need.
All right. Nate Zielinski, thanks for joining us. We're going to take a quick time out. Brad Peterson's going to join us, and we're going to talk more fishing on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors, get everything you want out of a dealership.